This morning's Minnesota Reads is a very special book. It is called Chimewinja, Ojibwe Stories from Leech Lake. Dorothy Dora Whipple wrote the book, actually told the stories. They were transcribed by, among other people, her friend Wendy McCoon's Genius, who joins us on the phone this morning to talk more about the making of this wonderful book. Wendy, hi, it's great to have you.
Hello.
So tell us how you came up with the idea of not only writing down these stories from Dorothy, but providing them in the unique way that they're provided in the book. And we can talk about that a little bit, too.
This actually was completely Dorothy's idea. We'd worked on some previous Ojibwe language projects through the University of Minnesota and some curriculum projects and stuff. And then we'd finished everything that we were doing, and I asked her what she wanted to do next. And we already had a number of stories recorded at that point. And she said that she wanted to create a book that would be attractive to anyone, especially younger people. So she wanted illustrations in it so that people could see the Ojibwe, but either be attracted by the pictures or be able to use them as a way to translate the Ojibwe, not have to look at the English right away. And so we started on the project. Her older sister was Maud Keg, the author of Portage Lake, that was edited by John Nichols. And she wanted to do something similar, but she really wanted the pictures in there, so there was more than one way to understand what she was saying.
And those photographs are amazing. It's important that we take just a moment to back up a step and emphasize that Dorothy is one of only a few people who was able to maintain being a fluent Ojibwe speaker. We've heard in a lot of different contexts with a lot of different Native people around the country how the boarding school system, which was alive and not well into the 70s, was punishing kids for speaking their native language. Their native languages are disappearing, and there's such a push now to capture and to connect with the living speakers of native languages so that the languages don't die. So first of all, for Dorothy to be able to hang on to her language was a tremendous accomplishment.
Yes, and there's a story in the book about when she was a child having a woman come to the door and move in with them, and her brothers and sisters not being able to speak to this person and not knowing who it was, and it turning out to be their older sister that they'd just never seen. And that made a real impression on her, and she didn't go to boarding school. She went to day school. She already knew some English because the sister eventually taught them some English, and she remembered her sister not being able to even talk to her parents. And because of that, she says in the story, I held on to my language. I never forgot it because I didn't want that to happen to me.
We're lucky in this area that we have some Ojibwe immersion camps a couple of times, usually during the year, so kids have the opportunity to learn to speak the language. And if you are able to access Dorothy's recordings, and there's information about that in the book too, you can actually use this book as kind of a self-study, a little bit, to listen to the Ojibwe, read along the Ojibwe on the left-hand side of the page, and then take a look at the translation into English over on the right-hand side of the page.
That's right. That's been one of our goals with the book. We also have a glossary in there, and Dorothy was hoping that the glossary in particular would be very helpful to people. They could learn individual words that way. She thought that was a great tool. And my co-editor, Dr. Brendan Fairbanks, has added an editor section at the end as well for people that maybe have had a class or two of Ojibwe language.
So it's really, the book is really doing a whole bunch of different things at once. Tell us about the illustrations. The illustrations are just magical, I think.
Well, thank you. My illustrator is my younger sister, Anne Marie Genius, and she actually lives in Duluth. She has been working with me on many projects for illustrating, and Dorothy and I met when we were working on the Ojibwe language CD-ROM project through the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities. And for that, my sister was illustrating, making pictures for these CD-ROMs. So Dorothy knows her and knew her at the time, and she was really impressed with the way that she could draw what she was talking about so simply. And so she, when we were going to do the book, she wanted something that younger people could look at and would be interested in the pictures as well. She was particularly interested that her grandchildren, we started this in 2006, and that her grandchildren at the time were looking at comic books quite a lot, and that they had these illustrations. She wanted something with illustrations, so that was her interest in it. And to make them, it was a really interesting process. Dorothy would tell us a story, and we'd transcribe it, and then we'd give it to Anne-Marie, and she would draw pictures to go along with it. Then we'd take them to Dorothy, and she would okay them or not okay them or add details. And then we'd go back and draw them again and bring them back. So it was quite interesting. And when we were doing the whole book, none of us were living in the same city and often not the same state. So it was quite a lot of driving to show her these pictures. And Dorothy has lost her hearing right before we started the project. So we've had to communicate only in person with her so we could write notes.
And you've had, well, and as you mentioned before we went on the air, at 95, if the worst you can say is that you've lost your hearing, her health is still good, you say, and at 95, she's still getting around and being there for lots of kids and grandkids and foster kids and friends, and she sounds like quite the lady.
She is. She's moved from Minneapolis. She lives in Bemidji. She is in assisted living, but it's mainly because she can't hear doorbells and things, so to be able to communicate with her. She has five generations of grandchildren, and I don't know how many foster kids she raised, but she was a foster kid for decades, a foster mother for decades. And she can walk around. Sometimes she uses a cane or a walker, but she can walk around by herself, and she can get up and dress herself, and she's, for 95, she's fine.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. One last thing I wanted to say about the illustrations. I don't know how your sister did it. It's magical, because the illustrations, as you mentioned, are very simple. Black lines on white paper, and yet for each illustration, she captures such a warm, fun, family feeling that it just comes from, it just, you can tell looking at these people, even if you only had, for example, the Ojibwe in the pictures, you can tell these people are family. It's just magical. And the illustrations surrounding the story that you mentioned about the oldest sister who came back speaking English, it's everyone who's ever had a younger sibling will relate to those pictures. It's just wonderful.
Well, me great. Thank you. She's going to be happy to hear that.
Wendy, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning to talk about this book. And, of course, we're going to get some information up on our website about it so folks will be able to find it and get additional information about the book, perhaps the recordings that Dorothy made. Having read the book, it would be wonderful to hear her telling those stories herself. And thank you, Wendy, so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, too.
Wendy McCoon's Genius joined us as our guest this morning here on Minnesota Reads. She is one of the co-editors of a book produced by her 95-year-old friend Dorothy Dora Whipple called Chimewinja, Ojibwe Stories from Leech Lake. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.